This morning's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 8, reading verses 5 to 13. There will be a second reading from Hebrews chapter 11 as well. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. The faith of the centurion. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I am myself a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it'll be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that very hour. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 11, reading verses 1 and then verse 6. Hebrews 11. "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." And verse 6. "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, Emmanuel. You can stop meeting like this, but anyway. Good to be with you this morning. And we just love you people for your encouragement and for the blessing that you are to so many people, not only in Greenbushes, but throughout our city. I'm going to speak to you this morning about a very special occasion, and that is when the Lord Jesus marveled. In fact, he was astonished. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, as always, we pray, give us ears that can hear, that we can hear the word of God, and give us minds that can understand what we hear and grasp what we hear God saying to us this morning. And give us the faith and the courage as well to live out in such a way what we believe and what we've heard and seen, that many might see and taste to themselves that the Lord is good. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll come back to that reading in Matthew chapter 8 in a moment. But we read in Scripture that God was often pleased with a person because of what that individual did, even what that person said. One example is King David. Now, as we know, that David was no angel, and he often did things that were not pleasing to God. But in spite of that, God knew that David still loved him with all of his heart. David was no different than you and I. And it is only of David that God said, "This is a man after my own heart." David, with all of his faults, with all of his warts, with all of his mistakes, David was a man after his own heart. We know too that when God created the world and the universe, as we heard earlier on, he stood back and he said, "It was good." And it is still good. Irrespective of what you might read in the papers and see things happening in Florida, all over the world, God has a plan. All things work together for good to those who love God. But there are occasions when God was more than pleased with the outcome of a situation or with a person. In fact, when God actually marveled because of what that person had done or because of what that individual had said. And this is what happened when the Roman centurion, by the way, no ordinary soldier, this guy was a Roman kafut, came to Jesus on behalf of a servant who was ill, critically ill, But let me read to you again what happened in Matthew chapter 8, from verse 5, just a few verses. And when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him and asking him, "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible suffering." And Jesus said to him, "I will go and I will heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve you to come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he was astonished. And he said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in the whole of Israel with such faith." Then verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you believed it would." And the servant was healed that very hour. Now I have a feeling that there may be folk here this morning. There may be folk here this morning who may be feeling just as the centurion must have felt when he came to Jesus for help. And if that is how it is with you, listen carefully, because it could well be that you will also leave this morning with a heart that is filled with hope, with encouragement, and with praise. Now, there are a number of things that happened here that really grabbed my attention, and especially at this time for me as well, that really grabbed my attention, and I hope that it will do the same for you also. And the first is that this was something very unusual. There was something very unusual about this request. It is unusual because it was a request of a Roman centurion on behalf of a slave, of a nothing, of a slave. Now, and another thing, and in those days, the Romans hated the Jews. I mean, Pontius Pilate was still in charge, and Nero was still on the throne. And the Romans hated the Jews. And yeah, this Roman centurion, this Roman kufut special officer, whatever, came to Jesus, a Jewish prophet would say, for help. Now, servants and slaves in those days, let me tell you something, had the same status as maybe as a mule or even a dog. Because Romans did not have servants. They were slaves. They were slaves. They were not employed. They were slaves, and they didn't have the status of a mule or even a dog. But yet this man cared. They were workhorses and nothing else. Now, if a slave didn't come up to expectations, he would be put down there and there. They'd slit his throat with no questions asked. I remember when I was at Bible college, my friend sitting over there, Pastor Jeffrey James, who was then head of the Protestant Association. He was our lecturer in church history. And I was horrified. I was a brand new Christian. I was horrified when he told us this true story one day, how a Roman governor from somewhere in Europe wanted to entertain a guest. Him and the guest were talking about all sorts of things. And the guest had said to him, "You know, I've never seen anybody die." "What?" he said. And with that, he snapped his fingers and told his servants to bring a slave into that room immediately. And there, in front of that guest, he had that slave put to death for entertainment. Now, in our story, we're looking at a slave owner who was different. A slave owner who was different, and he was different because he cared about people. There was something inside of him that we look for in so many people. He cared about people, and he had an appreciation for human life, even the life of a slave and a servant. And perhaps the servant or the slave had become like a friend to him, even maybe like a brother or even a son. These things happen. We know the story about Queen Victoria and John Brown. Well, that's another story. Queens can get lonely as well. But we will never know what the connection was between these two men. But you can be sure that this Roman centurion had set a precedent. by coming to Jesus, the Jewish Savior, for help. He had set a precedent. He did something that was unknown and unacceptable within the empire. And if his superiors had found out what he had done, he would have been in deep trouble because Nero was considered as God. He didn't call anybody Lord. The only Lord in the empire was the emperor. Now, perhaps you are also concerned at this moment about a relative, a friend, or a loved one that has a need, as I do. Now, if that is so, Jesus has something very special to say to you and me this morning. Believe me, I want you to hear this morning and to listen this morning as you haven't done in years. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, "Come to me, all of you who are heavy laden and burdened with care, and I will give you rest." Please note the words, "all" and "I." Come to me, all of you, not some of you, all of you. And I, and nobody else, and I will give you rest. We're talking about the peace and the joy of God that transcends all understanding that can only be God-given. And Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what your need might be, what your situation is, but you come to me. I remember I was drunk in a hotel room. When was it? 1974. And there through a Gideon Bible, paralytic, God spoke to me. He came to me. He was with me in that room. And God is with you here this morning as well. He says, "I know what your need is, and I understand the issues, and I understand the complications and the situation. I understand, I know. But come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you the solution. The answer lies with me. Cast your cares upon me," he says, "and I will give you rest. I can deliver you. I can set you free. I can change the situation that you are in and the people involved in the situation. I can even change their way of thinking. I can step in and I can change things as nobody else can. I can turn this situation around for good." This brings us to our second point. And our second point is this: when we come to Jesus, we must come as the Roman soldier did. He did not waver or hold back. He did not waver in his belief that Jesus could help him and that, or that Jesus would be willing to help him. He just came. And Hebrews 11, as we heard earlier on, verses 1 and verses 6, just two verses. "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Somehow this man knew that there was something about this Jesus that was certain. We're talking about certainty, and we're talking about hope that will be fulfilled. Verse 6. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." This is what the centurion did. He earnestly sought Jesus. And this is what the Roman soldier did. And it is also the reason why the Lord Jesus was so pleased with him. Note again how the man begins his request with Jesus, saying, "Lord," again, "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." And Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him. I will go and heal him." And in verse 10, Matthew says, "And when Jesus heard this, Jesus was astonished." It is the only place in the Bible where it said that God or Jesus marveled or was astonished. Through a creep, somebody like a Roman soldier, on top of that, a centurion, that Jesus was astonished. He marveled. Now, in my preparation of this message, I stopped at this point and I said to myself, What a wonderful person the Lord Jesus must be. There is no one else like him. Yes, he is the Lord of Lords, the second member of the Trinity, the Son of the living God, the creator of the universe. And yes, he with the Father, the creator of the universe, are one. The creator of everything that exists, from a mahi to an elephant. And even you and I created in his image. Yes, as we are told in Colossians 1:16, by him all things are created, and through him all things are held together. The furthest star that we know about in NASA, that are hundreds of billions of miles away, Jesus said, let it be, and it was, and he is the one who is holding. We're talking about the force of gravity. We're talking about the hand and the power of God. Yes, by him all things are created, and through him everything is held together. You and I are held together as well. It's only by the grace of God that I can stand here this morning. We're talking also about the laws that keep the universe together and that has kept it going, I would say thousands, millions of years, I don't know. Yes, we read how God had delivered his people from Egypt, from captivity under the leadership of his servant Moses. The prince who became a shepherd. The prince who became a shepherd, and the shepherd became a man of God by the grace of God, and one of the greatest men of God who's ever lived. The first five books of the Bible, starting with Genesis, was written by the hand of Moses. And God was preparing him to do just that in the courts of Pharaoh. And we read of the exploits of Joshua, David, Elijah, and many other great men in the Old and also in the New Testament. And we know that God was pleased with all that was achieved by these people. But this is the only place in Scripture where we are told that the Lord marveled at the outcome. Isn't it strange? He marveled at the outcome. He was astonished because of what had happened. Thirdly, what was the Lord's response to the centurion's request? In verse 7 it says, I will go and I will heal him. I will go and I will heal him. And yeah, I have to stop and ask, does God always give us exactly what we want and when we want? Does he always heal straight away and save the unconverted immediately because of the prayers of a parent or of a friend? The answer is, no, he doesn't. I'm thinking now as I speak, but God said that he will make all things beautiful in his time. I know, I remember, an uncle of mine wanted to see me soon after my conversion. Uncle George, he wouldn't even let his children play with me, my cousins. I went to see him and I knocked on the door and he opened the door and this big giant of a man, I rushed the boerman, and he ripped me off my feet and he squashed me. He was sobbing like a baby and he said, Ernie, for 20 years I've prayed for you. Thank you, Uncle George. He doesn't always answer our prayers immediately. But what I do know is that he is sovereign and that he will always do what is right. He will always do what is right and at the right time. Listen to what Solomon said, King Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 from verse 11 to 14. And I want you to know that Solomon had to deal with many issues when he penned these words. And most of these issues was because of his own doing. You know Solomon. He said, he has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. But I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken away from it. And God does it so that men will revere him. that men will revere him, appreciate him, honor him, and worship him, and love him. And I'm sure that the centurion also had his own issues to deal with. Trust me. He had his own issues to deal with, and which only added to the condition of the slave. But when Jesus said, "I will go and heal your servant," he was saying to the man, "With me, all things are possible. I can do it. All things are possible with me. I am not only in the healing business, but also in the business of forgiveness, of restoration, of salvation. And I can make all things new. I'm a specialist in restoration. And what I will build stands, not crumble like some of these buildings in England." And I believe that Jesus was also saying to this man, what he was saying is that he is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. He is the life. And that no one can come to the Father except through him. And you must understand this. No one can come to the Father except through him. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And I want you to know that to the Romans at that time, again, as I said earlier, that the emperor of Rome was worshipped as a god. But as the centurion stood there before Jesus, he knew that the one that he was speaking to was the one and the only one. He was the real thing. He was the savior of the world. And that is why he addressed Jesus as Lord. That it's Kyrie in Greek, which means sovereign, God, Lord. It's the same word that is used in the Hebrew by people like Moses. And this brings us to our last point, which is the centurion's response to what Jesus was saying, verses 8 and 9. And the centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve you to come under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I tell you, I tell this one, go and he goes, and that one come and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." And then in verses 10 to 13, it says, "And when Jesus said this," listen to this, this is what Jesus said, "And when Jesus heard this, he was astonished. And he said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Talking about heaven. "But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." But what Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed that very hour. As I conclude, I have to ask you this question, every one of you. Who was the Lord more concerned about? The centurion or the slave? Tell me that. Who was he more concerned about, the centurion or the slave? Was he impressed by the faith of the soldier or the condition of the slave? What is the story there? Was he more concerned about the faith of the soldier or the condition of the slave? I can only imagine what that soldier must have done when he went back home. When he went back home. We'll come to that later. I also have to ask this question of you and me. Who or what is it that the Lord is most concerned about? Your relationship with him, my relationship with him, or the situation or the spiritual condition of your loved ones and friends? Who is he most concerned about? You or your predicament and your loved ones and friends as I speak at this moment. Let the Lord himself give you the answer. Matthew chapter 6, 33. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things, all these things will be given to you as well, referring to you and me. We are to seek his kingdom. He is more concerned about you as I speak here this morning than he is about anybody else. And I want you to know that Jesus said this hours before the centurion had come to him. He said the same thing hours just before he came to him, which happened here in chapter 8 from verses 1 to 4, where he healed the leper. He had healed the leper in the same chapter, and a little while later, the centurion. But the Lord's main concern at that point in time was the soul of the man who came to him for help. He was more concerned about the centurion who had come to him and called him Lord than he was about the slave. The slave was the reward. But the soul of the man standing in front of him was his main concern. And it's the same also with you and I. The Lord's concern at this point in time, my friend, is about your relationship and my relationship with him and our standing with him. Not our children, not our finances, our health, our friends, but our relationship with him. What does the Bible say? Seek ye first, you and I, the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, then all these other things will be added to you as well. He is more concerned about you and I at this moment. And I need to ask you, I'm not going to ask you how long you've been coming to the church, how many services, Christian services you've attended over the years, maybe 50 years. But is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you saved? Because unless a man be born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, John 14. And when that place has been prepared, I will come back to fetch you so that you also can be with me where I am. And he's speaking now to those who belong to him by faith. Are you a child of God? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And what is more, are we trusting him to do what is right in his own time and in his own way, as Solomon did, when Solomon said that he will make all things beautiful in his time? Now, if we are, then hear this. Jesus says, leave it to me. Leave it to me. And the Lord is speaking here about a son or a daughter that is breaking our hearts, or a father or a mother, and he's saying, I know, you leave it to me. Yet I'm thinking what King David said in Psalm 139, all the days ordained for me was written in God's book before one of them came to be. For me it was on the 6th of June 1974. And for your son and for your daughter, but right now God is speaking to you. To you first and to me, and your daughter and your loved ones will come. Yes, he is a prayer answering God. He is a loving and a gracious God. When you are in pain, he is in pain. He feels what you feel, and he understands what is hurting you. But he says, leave it to me. Right now, let us make sure, you and I, that we are right with God. Matthew 6:33 again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added today as well. And you know what? God still marvels today. He marvels today when you come to him and above, on behalf of whatever it is, someone, a loved one, to say, because that might be the situation that is causing you to call out to him for prayer. If everything always goes 100% right, nothing ever goes wrong, will we ever come to him in prayer? He creates situations where the only way for us is up. Lord, we can nowhere else to go. You are the one who answers prayer. You are the one through whom all things are held together. My trust is in you. You can cause God to marvel today. Did you know that you and I can cause the Lord Jesus to be astonished today? Can you believe it? The nothings of the world like you and I, that we can cause the Creator and the living God to be astonished just through our faith and through our courage for Him. And it can happen today. Heavenly Father, we thank you. As Paul said, that through you we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. Give us what we need to trust. Give us what we need to believe. Give us what we need to surrender. And if there's anyone else here this morning who has still not come to that place of absolute surrender, they have not come to the place where they have said, Lord Jesus, I'm going to make you number one. I'm putting my trust in you for my salvation, and I'm accepting you as my Lord and Savior. Hear my prayer. I'm praying it now. Please, Lord, now. Hear my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.